the mediators of the new covenant. He is the mediator of the New Testament. Hebrews 9 and verse 15. The Lord, by his sacrifice, is able to purify the conscience and cleanse the heart of man. These effects were not possible under the old covenant. Therefore, a new covenant was brought in, but not until the old covenant had received all the honor which its tremendous sanction demanded. Death was its demand for transgression, and this it received on behalf of us all by one of the covenant makers, the Son of God. This led the Hebrew believers to have respect for what naturally they hated most, the doctrine of a crucified Messiah. Now notice the new covenant. The efficacious sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and his prevailing mediation needed a new covenant to suit them. New wine could not be put into old bottles. Therefore, he who offered the sacrifice and opened the way into the holiest is by necessity the mediator of the better covenant. The old covenant, not being able to pacify conscience and cleanse the heart of man, could not bring us into an eternal inheritance. But the eternal inheritance was what God had promised to the father of believers, Abraham. Yet none could possess it under the old covenant. This meant a further necessity for a new covenant. The new covenant really existed from the beginning, for our Lord was slain, as it were, from before the foundation of the world. His sacrifice being already in the mind of God. Now the covenant is based on the rock of God's unchangeable and eternal purpose. It must be clearly understood that this covenant, which is the believer's safeguard, is not a covenant with sinful man. The covenant of works was made with man and was instantly broken. Such a violated treaty can be no plea before God. We can never be justified by our having kept the old covenant, simply because the old covenant has been broken time and time again through violation of that covenant. We are heirs of wrath. The new covenant is made between the Father and the Son on our behalf. The Lord Jesus stands before God as a second man, in the place of the first man, who had failed. God commits to his Son the terms of the covenant and the promises attached. The Father binds himself to these terms and makes the promises. Thus the Father, in his office as God, pledges himself to those who shall be saved. His Son, in his office as mediator, pledges on our behalf to fulfill the terms of the covenant and so make us inheritors of the Father's pledged promises. God's terms are that man be cleansed from all sin and be clothed in all righteousness, thoroughly renewed and acceptable to God in every way. The Lord Jesus undertakes to present before God such a people and will himself be responsible for the full performance of the work. God promises to be their God. Christ promises they shall be his people. This covenant has the promise then of an eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9 and verse 15. This is what God promised Abraham and David. Our Lord's sacrifice was designed not only to take away the sins of new covenant believers, but also those of true believers under the old covenant. Those believers of old, therefore, have not perished. The new covenant was ratified by death. Hebrews 9, 16 and 17. The ancient method of making covenants was to place a slain victim between two parties. The covenant was ratified over a dead body, meaning that any breach of it would issue in the death of the one who breached it. So the Lord Jesus has atoned for our sins by his death. In that death, the old covenant is honored, but a new covenant is now established. The everlasting covenant was confirmed to Moses. Hebrews 9:18-22. The idea of substitution was never absent from ancient God-given rights. You see that in the coats of sins given Adam and Eve, in Abraham's offering up of Isaac, in the rams taking the place of Isaac, and so many more. The breach of the old covenant made with man teaches us that we are sinners condemned to death. The glory of the new covenant is that God accepts a substitute, even his own beloved son, who met all the demands of that broken covenant and established believers in a new and better covenant. Now notice the efficacious sacrifice. First, the sacrifice of our Lord cleanses heavenly things. Hebrews 9, 23 and 24. These heavenly things are explained by the pattern. Israel's people, the earthly tabernacle, the vessels of ministry. All heavenly things needed to be meet for us, and we made meat for heaven. Our Lord's sacrifice preserves from that which would defile us. Our presence in heaven would defile it, except that the Lord Jesus appears in the presence of God for us. Thus, when we follow him into heaven, no dishonor is done to heaven. The Lord is there on God's behalf, to guard his honor, and on our behalf, to guard our safety. Thus the sacrifice of Christ prepares heaven for us, and prepares us for heaven. Secondly, the sacrifice of our Lord deals with the root of sin. Hebrews 9, 25 and 26. In the old economy, the sacrifices of Jewry had to be repeated. They could be repeated only if the land produced enough bullocks and goats. With our Lord, his sacrifice was so complete and efficacious that it would never have to be repeated. It was too excellent to be repeated. It was too perfect to be repeated. There were millions of bulls and goats, but only one Son of God. He could die but once. The Jewish high priest came out of the earthly tabernacle each year looking for more bulls and for more goats. But Christ abides in the heavenly tabernacle forever, his object having been fully accomplished. Thirdly, the sacrifice of our Lord prepares us for his return. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. When our Lord came to bear the sins of many, he could be offered only once. But the apostle warns these indolent Hebrew Christians of his reappearance. And that his reappearance will not be after the manner of the Jewish high priest, who reappeared after being in the earthly tabernacle. They came out to offer new sacrifices. Our Lord's reappearance means the receiving of his saints and the destruction of his enemies. He is to appear without any sin offering. That is, not for the purpose of making sacrifice for sins again. Now hear the words of Charity Bancroft. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hand, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair, and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sins. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ in high, with Christ my Savior and my God. Charity Lees Bancroft. Amen and amen.